Good to see you. Now, this year, I think there has been more pressure on Christmas to perform than in the last few years. Because Christmas has always been this end-of-year celebration that kind of cleanses our palate so we can be ready to feast on the next year. So we can clean off the dust of our shoes and start the next year well. So this Christmas has a lot of pressure on it. Now, when we had our little South Australian mini panic lockdown, I saw some of the press conference where Nicola Spurria, or St. Nicola as some people have been calling her, was talking about the restrictions that were in place in the situation. And she was very clear about, we don't really know what's going on, we're just doing what we can to stop things now, we don't know what the future will hold, but this is what we're doing right now. She was very clear, very confident that this was all dependent about what would happen in the next couple of days. And then the press started asking her questions, and immediately they're like, does this mean we'll have no Christmas? And so they're asking St. Nick if Christmas would be cancelled. And of course, she didn't have anything to say except, we don't know. We're just taking it one day at a time. We'll find out in the next little bit. Now, you could see the desperation that the journalists had to have a big headline about Christmas and what that would mean this year, which means it's been really important to us to have a good, wonderful celebration at the end of the year. Something where we can take what the year has been, enjoy the good parts of it, and then get ready for a hopefully a much better year next year. And I suspect the journalists knew that. That's why they were pushing St. Nick to tell us that all about Christmas. So this year, this Christmas, we have the hope of something bigger than before. We can hopefully get rid of the smell of 2020 and move on to something better. So if Christmas is a time of renewal and a time of hope for us in a world that has been rather confusing and strange lately, how can we experience the real hope of Christmas? Well, this Advent season, we have been going around the Advent wreath and exploring the theme of each candle and how that is fulfilled in Christmas. So we've looked at hope, peace, joy, love, and the middle candle we lit today was the Christ candle. As we have looked at each of these concepts, the tricky part about them is that they often mean something very different in our culture than what they mean when it comes to the Christmas story. Now, the big difference is that love, joy, and peace that our culture hopes for each Christmas usually ends just at the end of the Boxing Day sales. Peace and goodwill to all men is rather difficult to uphold when you're fighting over sales that are 50% off or trying to get those 90% off Christmas decorations so you can have your house decked out for the next year so that everyone knows that you believe in peace, even though you've been fighting someone else for those decorations. And that feeling of joy of Christmas is often only lasts until our toys run out of batteries and we're forced to do the washing up. The love, though, we still love our family and our neighbours, but as tension builds and we're forced to do the washing up begrudgingly and our family drives us crazy and our neighbours seem to make it to the Boxing Day sales earlier than we did to get the good Christmas decorations, so we're stuck with the ones that are contextually specific. So all we could get was a Santa Claus with a surgical mask on, which is funny in 2020, but in 2021, hopefully, that will have been outdated. When they have all of that, we might still love our neighbours and our family. We just don't like them very much in that moment. So if there's any real peace, joy, and love from Christmas, it probably doesn't actually come from stacking our calendars with end-of-year events and indulging in a little too much of everything. But this leads us to the story that Mariana read to us today, the story of a baby of great promise being born in a little town and laid to rest in a manger. A baby who the angels said was good news of great joy because he was going to be a saviour. A baby who, when the angels sang about him, said he would bring peace. A baby who we learned last week was God's act of love to us. So the hope of Christmas is that this baby is going to bring joy and peace because of God's love. We know that through the rest of the baby's life on earth, Jesus grew and he showed that there was something bigger than what we thought. Wherever he went, he preached of a kingdom coming where all the problems of the world would be fixed, where the hurts would be healed, and all the things in the world that cause suffering are done away with. As he walked around, he healed what was broken. He brought forgiveness to the guilty, sight to the blind, and he cleansed the dirty. People were excited to live in this kingdom that was coming, but there was a problem. If we were to do away with everything that caused the problems of the world, then all the people would have to be gone too. Now, I know for myself, as much as I want to pretend the problems of the world come from external things like viruses and old racists, I know that I am probably as much to blame for the things that go wrong in my life as anybody else. I know the hurts that I cause and the pain that I experience. I know that my expectations of others can often be more about my pride and my desire to be in control. If the world were fixed and just made perfect again, it wouldn't be long before my desire to control would destroy the peace and joy that had been created. So Jesus, the one who was preaching this wonderful kingdom coming, he laid down his life as a sacrifice for all the wrong that we do. He took upon himself all the shame and sin and died so that I might become something new, something fresh, to live in the new kingdom, the new world of peace and joy. Now we live with the hope that he's coming again to bring that kingdom in its completeness, so we can be one day what we were always supposed to be. Now this is great news for the future, but what about our Christmas this afternoon or the next couple of years that we'll be living until that kingdom comes? Well, if 2020 has taught us anything, it is how fragile the world that we create for ourselves is. The answer is that there was a baby who lived for something bigger, and it makes it possible for us to live for something bigger too. For example, I'm not a big fan of air travel. I like the speed and convenience of it, but I find the moment between when you get to the airport and when the plane takes off is very stressful. And the moment from when you land and then you finally get one of your family members to pick you up, that is also stressful too. The actual plane ride, not so bad. But what happened, I think going to the airport to catch a plane is the only place I can think of where the customer is treated like a criminal and constantly has to prove that they are not. When you first get there to someone drop you off, you have to hurry your goodbyes to your families and friend. Otherwise, the man in the high-vis vest comes and tells you to hurry along and threatens you with towing your car or whatever. And then that whole drop-off zone is the equivalent of watching 10-year-olds play soccer. All the cars huddle together trying to search for the one space and no one seems to know what they are doing. And when you go to check your luggage finally, they weigh it and then it looks like they're ready to jump at you to charge you extra for the crime of your bathroom scales saying 1 kilogram less than their scales. They also ask you these intimate questions about what's in your luggage, like if you have spray-on deodorant. I challenge you to name another situation where a worker in a shop asks you about your personal hygiene products. Then you go through security where they x-ray you, metal detect you, test if you have bomb residue on you, and then accuse you of being a terrorist if you have left nail clippers in your bag. Then, when it's time to get on the plane, it's a rush to get to your seat so you can be sure there's enough space above your seat to put your luggage. Otherwise, you'll have to awkwardly put your hand luggage over someone else's seat, which is a problem because of what happens after we land. Now, the flight is usually okay. You can watch a movie, listen to music, read. It's okay, but it's not especially comfortable. And once you land, everyone instantly tries to get up first to be the quickest one off. And now this is where your hand luggage position is important, because if it's above your seat, it's usually awkward to try and get out, as you have to lift your hands over your head to remove a 7-kilo bag without hitting the massive amounts of people in the aisle crowding around you. If it's above someone else's seat, then that just makes it even harder to manoeuvre. And then everyone stands up squashed, waiting in the aisle, even though the doors have not yet opened. And then we know that everyone's waiting squashed, and we know they're just going to have to get out there, go to the baggage claim, and wait for another 10 minutes before their bags get there. So the rush is for nothing. And when you get to the baggage claim, everyone stands right at the edge of the travelator, packed in tight, so you can't even see your bag, let alone go and get it when it's time to get there. And then if you do get there, you have to push past everyone. If everyone just took 3 steps back, stood in a loose crowd, everyone could see, step forward when their bag came, and then leave, and the world would be a much better, happier place. And yet they do not. I do not like air travel. It is a broken and stressful situation and system. But I put up with it because I know my destination. Usually when I get on a plane, my destination is to head home to my family, where I get to experience the joy and love and peace of spending time with them. So air travel is actually a little price to pay for me. The suffering of air travel is bearable because I know the destination. Now, it's the same with the hope of Christmas for me, but in a bigger way. If I were to go on airplanes for the customer service I receive, or how comfortable I am in a squashed seat, or the quality of the food, I would forever be disappointed by the experience. But I go on an airplane with the hope of the destination. And then, being treated like a war criminal by an overenthusiastic airport security member is bearable, and probably in most cases not even worth a complaint. Jesus came to make things right. God loved us by sending his son Jesus to take the punishment for all of the terrible things that we do to each other, so that he could lead us as the perfect king and we could have peace. When his kingdom comes in its fullness, we'll live in a world where all of the things that hurt us and bring us down are gone. I imagine that in that world, air travel might be enjoyable. A world where we live in peace and joy, motivated by love. So even though this has been a tough year for a lot of people, if your hope is in Jesus and what he has done, if you believe in him, then it was really just a bad plane trip on the way to an amazing destination. But it's actually more than that. Since we know where we're going, since our goal and our hope is a world of peace and joy motivated by love, it would make no sense for us to act in a way that caused suffering and conflict. If I was complaining about how everyone rushed to the front of the baggage claim, it wouldn't make sense if I wanted a better world for me to be one of those people who rushed to the front of the baggage claim and blocked others' view, even though my bag is inevitably the last one. My destination is greater than my momentary struggles. I don't act like someone who is going to visit the joy and peace of my parents by acting a way that is beneath the way they raised me to be. If we live knowing that God is going to make the world right again through Jesus, it makes no sense for us to live in a way that makes the world worse. If you believe in Jesus, you have been saved for something better. So how can we live with this joy and peace motivated by love this Christmas? Well, firstly, we live with the hope of the destination at the forefront of our minds. If I was on a plane trip, I would dress for the place I was going rather than the place I was leaving. I wouldn't wear work clothes on a trip on holidays. The place that we know we are going affects how we travel to get there. Now, for a lot of you this afternoon, you are going to leave here and go to a big family function where you get to enjoy each other's company, eat too much sugar and fat, and raise your expectations and experience and raise your expectations of yourself and other people to crazy levels. Now, in that moment, before you get ready to enjoy the fruits of your Christmas celebration, remember what the destination is. Remember that peace and joy motivated by love is our goal. Remember that we're not out of our plane journey yet. And so the only way to start making the journey look like the destination is to start acting like it is. So before you do anything, before you get stuck in the regular way that you do things at Christmas this year, ask yourself how you're going to act in peace and joy motivated by love. Now, this may mean that you sacrifice your expectations to love someone else and give them joy. This may mean that you help out in the kitchen before you're asked to, instead of begrudgingly going to help as if the asker has ruined your Christmas, because your goal is no longer what I can be experiencing and enjoying immediately, but it's how I can be motivated by love to bring joy and peace to others. And if you decide that what you want to do is that, then helping out in the kitchen doesn't seem like that big of a deal and actually becomes enjoyable. Now, this may mean that if you are in the kitchen, you take joy in serving others, helping them to enjoy their time, regardless of what you're doing. Before you receive your presents, remember that the present is actually about a relationship between you and the giver. They are showing you love. So if your present shows that they care for you, whatever it is, that is an amazing gift, even if it isn't a PlayStation 5. The kingdom is coming. Jesus is renewing and restoring the world. So as we celebrate that today, let us act like that is our destination and act in peace and joy motivated by love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can celebrate the birth of your Son today. We can celebrate the time when you've sent a Saviour to the world, where we can have real joy and peace. I pray, Lord, as we go out on our daily activities, that you'll bless each of us. Help us to experience your love, joy and peace today, and help us to show that to our family and friends around us. And I pray, Lord, as we get ready for the next year, we can shake off the dust of 2020 and start to live in a world of hope, hope of your destination. I pray these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Amen.